the AgeTurners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta shows us the seriousness of the words we speak in our daily living and the need for us to exercise our conscience in this matter.
Today, we will continue our fellowship regarding this matter of exercising our spirit by exercising the functions of our spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should treasure our spirit. Our spirit is the key to the experience of Christ, and our spirit is the mark of God's economy. Every experience of Christ is actually an experience of the two spirits. The Spirit in our spirit. However, as we've been seeing, we need to learn how to exercise our spirit, how to use our spirit to contact the Lord in our spirit in a practical way. And we've been trying to help you to see that this matter of exercising the spirit is not something that is restricted to the church meetings. The exercise of our spirit is something that is pervasive throughout our whole daily life. It should be normal for us to exercise our spirit from the time we awake in the morning all throughout the day until the time we go to bed at night. We can exercise the functions of our spirit and in this way have a living that is one with the Lord and in fellowship with the Lord all day long. We've seen over the last few weeks that these functions of conscience, fellowship, and intuition, the functions of the Spirit, are very, very practical. The exercise of the Spirit is made practical through the exercise of the conscience, fellowship, and intuition. And in speaking about the conscience, we mentioned that no one can say that they're exercising their spirit unless they are exercising their conscience, or unless they have a good conscience. Today, we'd like to apply this matter to something that's very much a part of our daily life, and that is the matter of our words, our speech. You know, our daily life is filled with words. You can't go a day without words, whether it's at school or at home, with your friends, with the brothers and sisters in the church life. We are full of speaking all day long. And the Bible has a lot to say concerning our words. In Proverbs, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And in Matthew chapter 12, it says that by our words we shall be justified, or by our words we shall be condemned. In Matthew 12:36, it says that every idle word which men shall speak, they will render an account concerning it in the day of judgment. So not only bad words, not only cursing, but every idle word, even every idle word, we will have to give an account of that word before the Lord when he returns. So you see, the matter of our words is actually not a small thing. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul warns us concerning some sins that, if we stay in them, can cost us the enjoyment of the millennial kingdom. In Ephesians 5:3, Paul writes, "But fornication and all uncleanness or greediness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints." And of course, these things are gross sins. But right after this, he says, "And obscenity," that is cursing, "and foolish talking," or sly, filthy jesting, "which are not becoming, but rather the giving of thanks." So you see, brothers and sisters, our speech, our words, are a great thing before the Lord. We need to exercise our spirit that we could be free from these kinds of sins, the sins that we commit in our speaking, in our talk, in our daily life. It's very possible that we come to the Lord to enjoy Him in the Word in the morning, or we go to a church meeting, or to our campus meeting, or to our vital group or small group meeting, and we want to enjoy the Lord, and we're trying to exercise our spirit to sing and to pray, but there's some hindrance, some frustration. It could be, brothers and sisters, that we have some sins unconsciously built up on our conscience that we never confessed. And we don't confess them because we don't have that much sensitivity or realization that these small things in our daily lives are actually sin. We may have had some lying or some obscenity, or as the word says, some foolish talking or filthy jesting or idle words. And because we're not so keen in our spirit, those sins are there and we don't have the consciousness of the sin. But nevertheless, those sins are frustrating our fellowship with the Lord and our fellowship with the saints. The Bible actually warns us concerning many different types of words or many different types of speaking. But today, I'd just like to focus on one matter, and that is the matter of lies. You know, in John 8:44, it says that the devil is actually the father of lies. And that when we lie, we are actually expressing the satanic nature, the nature of our father, the devil. John 8:44 reads, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks it out of his own possessions, for he is a liar and the father of it." Of course, we know that a lie is when you're trying to deceive people with an evil motive. However, brothers and sisters, we should also realize that any inaccurate statements are also in the same principle as lying. Of course, I think naturally we try to reason away things and we consider that some things are big lies or small lies. We even have the phrase white lies, and it's very possible that we are numb in our conscience concerning the seriousness of this matter. We're numb to the fact that these are actually sins, and they are on our conscience, and they affect our fellowship with the Lord. I think it's very significant that in the book of Revelation, in chapter 14, when we're told about the overcomers, the first fruits, the 144,000, it says that these are they who have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he may go. These were purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And then it highlights, and in their mouth no lie was found. They are without blemish. Brothers and sisters, to be the overcomers, we must overcome in this area, in the matter of lying. And if there is any unconfessed lie that we still have, we need to take care of this so that we can have the good fellowship with the Lord, so that we can be those who overcome. And then in Revelation 22, in the chapter on the New Jerusalem, it says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." This is 22:14. I think many of us are familiar with this verse. But did you know the next verse says, "Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and makes a lie." It's very interesting that in the last chapter of the Bible, the Lord still highlights this matter of lying. I hope we realize the seriousness of this matter before the Lord. We should be very accurate in our speaking, and we should exercise our spirit in the area of our speaking. Again, brothers and sisters, this is not just when we are doing something intentionally to deceive people with an evil motive, although if we have had those kinds of sins and they're still unconfessed, we need to exercise our conscience, we need to apply the blood and enjoy the cleansing for more fellowship with the Lord. But also, we need to realize that every inaccurate statement is also in the principle of lying. For example, have you ever had the experience that you ask your parents for permission to go somewhere, and when they question you a little more, you make a statement such as, "Everyone is going." Is it really so that everyone is going? Or you want something, and they say no or not at this time, and the reaction is, "Oh, Mom, you never let me buy anything," or "You'll never let me go anywhere." Well, is that really the truth? Is it really never? Or is that an exaggeration? Or you tell someone, "You always talk like that." All these things, brothers and sisters, these inaccuracies are actually in the principle of lying. And they become an accumulation of sin on our conscience. We need to be serious about this matter and exercise our conscience, exercise our spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we could have a breakthrough in the area of our speaking, if the Lord could gain the exercise of our spirit in this area of our speaking, of our words, of our speech in our daily life, oh, we really will be those who exercise their spirit, are one spirit with the Lord, and will have a keen and strong spirit. I tell you, such a person can be used by the Lord in this age as an age turner. So I would encourage you to go to the Lord with these words and to pray and to tell the Lord, "Lord, I don't want anything coming out of my mouth that is not becoming of the saints, that's not fitting for saints, but I want the giving of thanks. I want words coming out of my mouth that give life to people and that express you and not express the nature of Satan." May the Lord overcome in us in this area, and may we have the habit, saints, of exercising our spirit in our daily living and exercising specifically in this area of our words. Well, brothers and sisters, that's all we have time for today. We will continue with this matter, looking at the different types of words that the Bible talks about next time. If you'd like to respond to this or any of these podcasts, we would really treasure your feedback. Please write us at contactus@ageturners.com. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Strengthen our spirit. Grant us to know our spirit, to exercise our spirit, that you may make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.